So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Are you enjoying Ignite so far? Hi, I am Rajesh. I am a senior product marketing manager. I focus on business continuity and disaster recovery solutions from Microsoft Azure. And I'm joined by my colleague, Avinash. He focuses on storage and backup solutions, again, from Azure. Today, we are here to talk about how to protect your apps and data with a modern Azure-based disaster recovery and backup and archival solutions. So when it comes to challenges, protection and recovery consistently ranks among the top five challenges when CIOs are polled. And of course, all of you have it as top of mind challenges as well, right? And why is that the case? We find that one of the considerations, the most important consideration, is limiting downtime and eliminating data loss, right? And why is that important? Like, we heard Satya say that every company is now becoming a software company, and any data loss actually makes causes event business problems, and downtime especially, it can cause financial impact. And not just financial impact, it can cause loss to your reputation, loss to your productivity that cannot even be quantified. So it's top of the mind challenge. Now, having said that, why don't you go and fix all of that issues? Because there are twin challenges here. And we usually find that one of these two are the causes when we talk to our customers. So why don't you have a comprehensive protection solution? It's either because of cost or because of complexity. These are the two challenges our customers usually grapple with. Now, if you look at cost, the primary driver tends to be the data growth. Data is growing exponentially. We've all heard this throughout this conference. We all know this even otherwise. And that means protecting that data is expensive. The cost is growing exponentially. But let me ask you, is your budget growing exponentially? It's not. So reducing cost while you manage your protection is a challenge. And it also turns out that a lot of our customers have deployed four or more protection solutions because they have a lot of specialized workloads that require specialized protection. And the reason I bring this up is complexity. So cost and complexity causes you not to be fully protected, although all of you realize that eliminating data loss and limiting downtime is super critical for you guys. We also find that ensuring compliance and scaling protection are things that are considerations for a lot of our customers as well. But these tend to be the facets of the other considerations that I talked about. So let me ask you guys, right? So given a choice, how many of you would protect 100% of your solutions with a DR and a backup solution? No hands? Okay, a few goes up there. But I see that a lot of our customers don't necessarily do that. And we find that the reason why that occurs is because of the following, right? These are the sort of tools that you make use of when you think about protecting and recovering your applications. So on the one end, you have challenges around business continuity. How do I keep my business running? How do I limit downtime? And on the other end, you have this challenge of how do I eliminate data loss? So you have these twin challenges and you have the various tools in your toolbox. So they tend to be things like high availability, disaster recovery, backup and archival solutions. As with most things, there is a diminishing return on your investment when it comes to RPO. If you want to have a zero RPO, as in you don't want any data loss in the event of a failover, you end up paying a lot more cost than if you are willing to take a little bit of a hit. And therefore, there is a dramatic difference in terms of cost and complexity considerations here. And as you can see, if you want to retain your data for much longer, it again ends up costing you more because you are keeping it for longer. There are costs associated with that. So this is the traditional landscape of how protection and recovery looks, but we believe that Azure-based solutions will disrupt this market, are disrupting this market. So we think with Azure-based solutions, now you can focus on your business problems and focus on, hey, how do I solve my business continuity challenges? How do I solve my data protection challenges? And leverage software as a service offerings from Azure-based solutions. And our aim here is to democratize protection. I was asking you a question earlier, how many of you would like to protect 100% of your apps? We want all of you to get there. We want all of you to protect 100% of your apps with a DR solution, with a backup solution, and have, you know, both a business continuity solution and a disaster recovery solution. And not just that, I want to bring out a key point here. You can ask me a question, hey, Rajesh, how is this different from, there's so many other vendors out there, how is this different, or what is it unique that you guys are doing? So Azure is the only hyperscale vendor that provides you an end-to-end solution in this area. In most other cases, you have access to primitives. Hey, I can take a snapshot of a VM that's running. I can dump the SQL DB. I can, you know, do all of these primitives that are available to you, but it does not give you an end-to-end solution. Give me a button that I can click when I need it and my app fails over. Or give me a button that I can click so that my enterprise backup policy is enforced on all of these apps. So that's what Azure provides, an end-to-end solution. So having said that, I think there are a key set of benefits that can only be delivered from a cloud-powered business continuity and data protection solution. And with Azure, we're striving to deliver all of this to you. As I said, the first and most important one is that this is a comprehensive solution. It's an end-to-end solution. We don't ask you to run infrastructure. We don't ask you to take primitives and build your own solution. We provide you an end-to-end solution. And I talked about the twin challenges of cost and complexity. With an Azure-based backup and disaster recovery, protection recovery solutions, you can reduce cost. And we'll have a customer speaker up on stage in a short while talking about how they reduced their cost doing disaster recovery. For on-premises workloads, this solution is not, I'm not talking only for cloud workloads, it works across your enterprise. I also want to bring out the points around, you know, how we solve for compliance requirements, and, you know, with a large portfolio of regions, we also make it easy for you to adopt it. So with that, I want to hand it over to Avinash to talk about some of these solutions.
Thanks a lot, Rajesh. Next, basically, we want to talk about the core protection solutions that Microsoft Azure provides. When you look at it across the board, there are three big solutions that we provide: Cloud First Backup, Cloud First Archive, and Cloud First DR.
So, Avinash, tell me what's Cloud First about this?
Yeah, great question, Rajesh. So, when you actually think about Cloud First, what it means for us is all these solutions are actually designed with cloud in mind. We're not thinking of cloud as another data center where IT admins and storage admins have to go, you know, create these infrastructure and manage them. For example, if you choose Azure as your secondary DR site, you absolutely don't have to stand up any of the infrastructure. This is something that's very unique that Azure provides compared to any other hyperscale vendor out there, right? What it also means is IT admin and basically, storage admins can now focus on their business challenges and spend less time in creating and managing this infrastructure. With that, basically, let's actually go through each of these solutions and understand the scenarios for each of them. So basically, the first thing is Cloud First Backup. One of the things that we actually realize is hybrid is a reality to a lot of customers. A quick show of hand, how many of you have infrastructure on-prem, and you're also investing in cloud? Yeah, I see a lot of hands, right? So what we believe is enterprises and basically customers are going to have their production applications. They're going to continue running them on-premise. At the same time, they'll invest in modern applications in the cloud. While backup solutions for your enterprise applications on-prem is great, the same cannot be said about the backup solution on cloud. What I mean by that is today what we see is customers are using, you know, primitives, for example, on the cloud, for example, using snapshot. What it translates is your application will have a downtime, and then basically you'll use the snapshot to actually recover. So what it also means is you have to bring up these servers and all those things. What basically Microsoft Azure provides is a protection solution, basically a backup solution that is enterprise-grade, both for your applications running on-prem and also on the cloud. What it means is, you know, just by few click of buttons, you can backup both from on-prem and the applications that are actually running on the cloud. All you have to do is tell the frequency of how often you want to backup, and basically the retention time, like you want to retain it for 5 years or 7 years, whatever is your basically policy. Basically, along with this, there is also another interesting scenario, which is the remote office and basically the head office scenario. How many of you have scenarios where you have a head office and then you have branch offices and you have to back up the data and the application? Do people have that kind of scenarios? So what we see today is customers are moving the data from their branch offices to the head office via the intranet, which is actually an expensive trip. Plus, once it goes to the head office, they use solutions like tape to basically back it up. With basically Microsoft Azure backup solution, you can actually eliminate many of these things. You can use internet to actually move the data from your branch office to the cloud, and basically the data is transmitted securely while transit, and also it can be stored securely. Plus, you can also eliminate your tape investment. Later on, basically I'll talk about an example where customers save significantly basically using this. So as you can see, like, you know, using our solution, basically you don't have to stand up any infrastructure in the cloud, and then with a few click of buttons, you can actually stand up your backup solution. Later on in the demo, we'll actually show this one as well. So across these things, we actually provide you a unified experience. As I mentioned, the data is secure in transit, and also data is secure at rest. We actually announced very recently that data in basically the blob storage can be encrypted for free. Plus, you know, as basically Rajesh said, you know, you can keep up with your compliance as well. To take advantage of this, you can use OMS, and you know, in the background, it's using Azure Storage. When you actually look at it from a high-level reference architecture, the way it looks is you have your on-prem infrastructure, you go and install the Azure Backup Server, and you use the Azure Backup Server for your operational recovery, things like, you know, for the first 7 days or 10 days of things that you store inside the basically the backup server, and you configure the backup server to move the remaining data to the cloud. So it's basically as simple as this. So you tell the frequency you want to back it up, and you tell how long you want to, you know, basically retain this. If you want to learn more about this, there is actually a session right after this at around 10:45, and you can attend that to learn more about Azure Backup, basically best practices and things like that. The next solution basically that I want to talk about is Cloud First Archive. More and more customers are thinking of cloud to actually save, you know, to move their archival data to the cloud. And the main drivers for this is to lower their cost, and the second thing is to access this data at a faster rate than basically the solutions that you have today that's basically on the tape, right? You know, by basically using Azure Cloud First Archive, you can move from CapEx to OpEx. Another important thing is we understand that customer data is, you know, data is probably one of the most important assets that you have. And we understand that, you know, privacy of the data is very important. Microsoft Azure goes to, we actually make sure that, you know, Azure is basically trusted, we are compliant. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to basically the Trust Center. We talk about different things that we do, audits that we do from third party. So what it all boils down is, you know, if you're looking for a cloud where you have more regions than any other basically cloud vendor, we have 34 regions as of now. That's actually much more than what our competitors have. Plus, as basically Rajesh mentioned, we actually have a broad set of compliance. So what it all boils down to is, you know, if you're looking for making sure your business compliance and also the governance has to be there, Azure is a place to go. So in terms of, like, you know, in terms of the architecture, here is actually one way to look at it. On-prem, you have your data that you want to archive. Azure actually offers a solution called StorSimple. It's basically a tiered solution. It makes sure that the data that is frequently accessed is on-prem on StorSimple, and it smoothly tiers the data to the cloud to both the hot tier and basically the cool tier. Basically, a quick show of hand, how many of you know about the cool storage announcement that we did around 6 months ago? Are people aware of it? Yeah, some people are aware. So if you don't know about it, you know, Azure actually announced this thing called Cool Storage. So it starts at 1 cent per gigabit per month, and essentially you can save a lot of money by storing the data in basically Cool Storage. We also have basically partnership with third-party vendor, and basically there is a session after this that you can go and attend to learn how we can use the Cool Storage as well. So in terms of like, you know, customer evidences who have actually basically used our Azure solution and basically had advantages, here are actually some examples. I want to go in depth about basically PCL. PCL is a customer, it's basically a construction company which is in North America. They actually have a head office, branch office kind of scenario. They have multiple branches, like remote offices, where they have real data that they have to back it up. Before they use Azure solution, the way they were doing was they had multiple branch offices, and they use internet to move the data to their head office. And once the data came to their head office, they backed it up on a tape. What it meant was, you know, data was going on intranet, expensive, and then they had to invest in tape. That means that they had to project costs for how much tape they need, plus also they had to invest in tape on an ongoing basis. Once they moved to Azure, essentially what they did was they, you know, they were now moving the data from their branch offices to the cloud directly via the internet, so they saved costs there. At the same time, the data was secure because they were using, you know, so basically the data was transmitted securely. The second thing was they eliminated the tape completely, so they saved a lot of cost there. So here is an example where a real customer used you know, Azure backup solution, and they saved a lot of cost without compromising on their security and their compliance that they need. Next thing, I'll basically hand it over to Rajesh to talk about DR.
Thanks, Avinash. So we learned about how Azure is disrupting the space in terms of backup and archival solutions. And we also believe this is the case for disaster recovery, right? So if you think about disaster recovery today, if you think about the landscape, I see like there are disparate solutions that are out there. One of the solutions that I see is like a managed DR solution. I call this like the Rolls-Royce solution. You pay them a lot of money, they take care of you when you need them. The problem with this approach is that you're not able to have full coverage across all of your apps. What you end up doing is you end up doing classification. Hey, this is my most critical app, and I'll go build a DR solution for this. These apps, you know what, I will have backup, and I will use that as DR. Now, if I asked you, as I asked you earlier, show of hands, how many of you would like 100% coverage for DR? A lot of you hands went up. And you could do that with a cloud-based DR solution. And there are cloud-based DR solutions out there today. And you know what? I call that the DIY solution. So what these guys give you is, again, they'll give hyperscale vendors. They'll give you compute, network, storage. And you end up building your own DR solution. This is like a cloud, do-it-yourself cloud DR solution. What we think as Microsoft is we want to democratize DR. We want to give you a software as a service offering where you don't have to run any infrastructure on the cloud to do DR either from on-premises or to the cloud. So that's what we're talking about here. So when you're looking at born in the cloud apps that are the new apps that you're building in your hybrid solution, or you're doing disaster recovery for your apps on-premises, whether they be running on VMware, Hyper-V, physical server, any of this, we want to enable you to do DR using Azure as your secondary location. And that's what we are aiming to do here. And we are unique in terms of giving you enterprise-grade SLA, 99.95% uptime availability, plus you know, unlimited DR testing. These are some unique benefits that you get by using Azure as your secondary side. In terms of products, you can use make use of Azure Site Recovery, which is part of Operations Management Suite, to do the orchestration. You can make use of Azure's you know, virtually limitless compute, network, storage, to actually use that as a secondary site. And in case if you guys have a DR setup that has, you know, a secondary site on-premises, we work with that as well. And with that, we give you a unified experience. Unified experience for DR backup across your enterprise, be it on-premises, be it on the cloud. And as Avinash was talking about earlier, security is top of mind for a lot of our customers. And with Azure, you can rest assured that you get the best-in-class solution in terms of security, even in transit and at rest. And with this unified data management security and protection solution, you get a whole package in terms of protection and recovery. Now, what I want to do next is I want to give you a sneak peek of what we are building in terms of features. So I mentioned that we offer protection for born in the cloud apps. One of the questions that come up that customers ask me is, hey, Rajesh, you know what? We are moving our applications to the cloud. I want to make sure we have DR there. Now, the standard answer Azure gives you is Azure is highly available. We take care of availability for you. You don't have to worry about it. But still, the question remains is, hey, I want to be able to test this DR preparedness for my audit and compliance purposes. We hear you, so we are going to soon launch a feature that will enable you to do that. So I want to give you a quick sneak peek, and I want to show how simple it is to enable DR for an application that's running in the cloud. With that, let me switch over to an Azure screen. So what I have here is my Azure dashboard. I have a few VMs up and running, so I'm going to take a VM-centric view here. You can take an app-centric view if you want to, but I want to show you how simple it is if you take a VM-centric view. So I'm going to go to this VM, and in the settings blade, you will see that there is a site recovery icon, so I click there. In order to enable DR, it asks for a few inputs, and I'm okay with most of them, so all I have to do here is actually click OK. And after a few minutes, after it sends up all its initial replication, you'll go into a protected state, and that is all there is to enable protection. That is all there is to setting up DR for your cloud app. Now, coming back to the question of, hey, how do I test this? We have a feature where you can do unlimited testing on the cloud using Azure resources. So all I have to do is click on test failover. Again, I have to give very few inputs. The most critical input here is network, of course. I want to make sure I select the right network because I'm going to be doing testing there. So I select the network, I click OK, and that's all there is to it. It'll launch a job and it'll complete in a few minutes, and you get to a state where you can go test your application. And you know that's how simple it is to do DR for your cloud applications. And it is a little more involved to do DR for your on-premises applications because you have to set up infrastructure on-premises, which we can't get away from, unfortunately. But it is not much more complex. And you can see that if you go to the disaster recovery solution sessions that we have later today. So we have a link to all of those sessions towards the end of this presentation as well, so you can find your way there. So if I go to the virtual machines view, I'll find that the VM has been created. It's called AppDB test. So I'll just close this, and I will go over and complete the test. So I can take some notes here. I'm going to paste something. Ask it to be cleaned over. OK. That's it. That's all there is to enabling disaster recovery for your cloud apps. So let me go back to my slides. So that was the quick demo. Now I want to introduce our customer speaker, George. So George has kindly agreed to come up on stage and talk about how Accenture has made use of the disaster recovery technology that we've built and how they've been able to achieve success with that. George?
Thank you, Rajesh. Good morning, everyone. My name is George Mave. I'm a infrastructure/disaster recovery manager at Accenture. I manage disaster recovery operations, and I also drive the effort to move from our co-location business model to Azure Cloud. So our journey started with us defining the business objectives for the initiative. In order to take advantage of cloud early on, Accenture leadership made a decision to adopt what we've called cloud-first strategy, and taking disaster recovery to the cloud was an important step in that journey. So having that context in mind, we came up with our business objectives. The first and foremost important objective for us was to take disaster recovery to the next level, and we were going to do that by using public cloud and aligned to the cloud-first strategy. So DR to the next level, what did that mean to us? Three things. Be able to deploy and scale without capital expenditure. Right, so at the time when we are developing the case, we're also looking at other options, including using another data center as a disaster recovery location for us. And while we were able to meet a lot of the other objectives, we still needed upwards of $1 million for hardware to just start our disaster recovery. So cloud was really the only option where capital expenditure was not a factor. We also wanted to improve manageability and increase automation, right? Do easy deployments, easy to manage, simplify operations, all that goes with it. We also wanted to get to consolidate vendors, and last but not least, we wanted to reduce cost. So this is the architecture that we have deployed with. It's a very typical Microsoft recommended design. On the left, we have the on-premises location, and on the right, we have Azure. On the on-premises, we have the client, which is the servers or the workloads that you want to protect and send to Accenture. You have to deploy an agent, OMS agent. It's called Mobility Service. You also need to deploy gateway servers. You need at least one. You can go with multiple depending on how much workload you need to protect. The way it works is the agent sends the data to the gateway. The gateway receives the data, compresses it, encrypts it, sends it over to Azure. The data ends up in a storage account, in a storage blob. And as Rajesh mentioned, what's important to note here, there is no computer infrastructure. You don't have to run anything in Azure to get this data there. The only cost that you have is really just storage. A couple of things that we have done to customize this design in our case for Accenture. In our on-premises location, we have created a dedicated disaster recovery network. Every server that comes into scope for disaster recovery gets a dedicated NIC, and all the traffic that travels from the source server to the gateway travels over that dedicated network. On the Azure side, we have created two VNets. The production VNet, that's a standard VNet. We have all the NSGs, network security groups, created, firewall ports are open. If you were to place a VM there, is going to be integrated with our production infrastructure, Active Directory, DNS, ADFS, and so on. We also have created what we call an isolated VNet, and that's dedicated to testing. We have copy of Active Directory, DNS, and ADFS in that isolated VNet, and that allows us to, when we test, to move VMs in there, and not only test the recovery of the machine, but actually we're able to bring up the applications very easily and functionally test those applications as well. So this design gives us two important items. At-will testing without affecting production. At any time, I can fail over a big production application, put it on the isolated VNet, bring up the whole application, test it functionally without affecting production. And secondly, we are eliminating any kind of network changes that have to happen on a network level. We used to have one VNet where we're doing tests, and then switching to production later on if we are to have some kind of a disaster event. This is no longer needed. It's so simple that we have the different VNets, and it's very easy to manage that way. That's in a nutshell the design. So why did we move to Azure-based disaster recovery? It's an enterprise-ready product. Initially, when we were deploying site recovery, we had concerns that it's not going to be able to handle our busiest and biggest workloads. To give you an idea of scale, we have database servers that handle 5, 6, up to 7 terabytes of data. Those are busy servers. It's not an archive data. We're using Azure Premium Storage, and the product has no problem handling those kinds of servers. We have no issues with that. Secondly, it's peace of mind, right? The Azure guarantee of 99.95% availability. Second reason is simplicity. Easy to use interface, single click failover for disaster recovery. We're able to seamlessly migrate application and data virtual machines to Azure. The product works on storage level, so any machine that you protect, virtual or physical, gets its disks replicated to Azure. We're also able to easily do test scenarios, recovery drills, and we're able to do a lot of automation. We are able to do automation without the effort. Everything is built into it. It's part of the product. Cloud-based cost reduction, the economics of cloud. pay-as-you-go model is always cheaper than co-location model. Just the resources themselves are much cheaper. For example, storage, the main resource you have to use when you deploy that solution. Even premium storage in Azure is cheaper for us than what we get on premises. Decreased overhead. We are able to save on time, money, on personnel. Site Recovery does a simple automated migration of workloads to Azure. Few clicks, you get a server protected, move the data to Azure. When you need to, you can fail over that server to the cloud. Automation, the last reason why we moved there. With so much automation in place, we are able to eliminate a lot of the tasks for our technical teams. We can focus on our competences, right? We don't have to spend time on maintaining complex infrastructure, on maintenance, and so on. We are able also to very quickly deploy to new applications that come into scope, and that's much, much faster as compared to our traditional disaster recovery solution. So what did we achieve? What are the results? Once we adopted OMS Site Recovery, integrated with Azure, first and foremost, 53% cost reduction with a new solution. We're also able to improve our RPO, recovery point objective, and this is mainly because the solution supports continuous data protection. And now we have a simple and scalable deployment and solution overall. Site Recovery was able to do quality DR and make it much more feasible to deploy at scale. We are able to make it accepted across our organization much more easily. As Rajesh mentioned earlier, we democratized disaster recovery. We made it readily available for many people at Accenture. We also had great success with automation and some of the enhancing capabilities on top of Azure. With so much automation on the back end, we actually don't need any technical resources to manage the solution. We have disaster recovery team members actually do all the work without contacting operations and so on. And then mobile, I love that functionality. You can monitor your status of the infrastructure. You can monitor the status of how your data gets into cloud. And if needed, you can technically fail over all of your servers into Azure through your phone from anywhere in the world. So overall, we did achieve our objectives. We took disaster recovery to the next level. We consolidated vendors. And while doing all this, we reduced cost.
Thanks, George.
Thank you.
So there you have it. George was talking about, this solution is not only working for test applications that you have somewhere. It's actually working for big and busy enterprise workloads. So that's what we are offering here in terms of backup recovery and archival solutions. So I also want to call out the fact that Azure has a very rich ecosystem in this space. So if you come up to me and say, hey, Rajesh, you know what? In my data center, I'm using XYZ product and it works great for me. You can extend those solutions into Azure. And big names, when you think about protection and recovery, already work with Azure. For instance, we have Commvault and Veeam. All of these guys have appliances in Marketplace, Azure Marketplace, which you can deploy in a single click. And some of these vendors work with Cool Storage, as Avinash was talking about, which you can take advantage of. All of this means that we have a protection and recovery solution that works on your terms, and it's broad and comprehensive and enterprise ready. So if you want to learn more about this, we have a session on this as well. So I will present a slide in a couple of minutes now, which will show all the related sessions with us. One of them is for an ecosystem. We have a couple of them for disaster recovery, one for backup. You can go attend all of those to get deeper into these areas as well. The other thing I want to call out is all of this is great information. Not too much will stick in Ignite because you're taking in so much. So I want you to have a place where you can go to and look up this information, the latest information. If you go to azure.com, you see a solutions page. There is a solutions page for backup and archive. There's a solution page for disaster recovery. And all of the up-to-date information that we talked about, including reference architectures, is available here, and I urge you to go check it out. And the next thing I want to call out is all the related Azure talks at Ignite. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to take photos if you want to. So if you're interested in the demo I showed, you should check out Migrate Your Applications into Azure session. So with that, I want to say, you know, why Microsoft? George brought up a couple of great reasons why our solution is unique and differentiated in the market. So I want you to actually feel like you can touch and feel this and try this out. So we have a trial experience for all of these products. For instance, the site recovery that George was talking about is free for 31 days, so you can actually try it out, see if the product works for you. And there are other solutions that we have. Azure, you can make use of Azure trial and things like that, and you can protect your business. And we have some free IT pro resources that you can make use of. With that, we have some time for questions and answers, if you have any.
Do you want to take the mic? Do you want to take the mic there so people can? I think it's the middle.
Can you back up Office 365 data with Azure?
So right now, the solution that we have mostly works for your IT operations. We do have plans of extending it to Office 365, but this solution that we talked about is for, think about it for your data center and your cloud investments for your IT resources. Any other questions?
Thank you. Would you explain the difference between long-term retention storage, blob storage, and cool storage?
You want to take this one?
Yeah. When you think about long-term retention, essentially, you know, as a customer, based on your governance and compliance need, you basically need to decide whether it's 7 years or basically 15 years or whatever number of years. We actually provide you tools to basically specify that and do the archival of those backup. When you think about Azure storage itself, Azure storage provides you the hot and cool tier. It's just two tiers, the same API. If you're a developer programming against it, it's the same API. The way to think about these two tiers is very simple. When you think about hot tier, you want to put data that is frequently accessed. Like, you know, think about applications that are constantly accessing the data. When you think about, and by doing this, you'll actually save cost, because the way we have priced it is if you're frequently accessing the data, the access cost is much lower there. Of course, the gigabit cost is a little bit higher than cool storage. The way to think about cool storage is, if you know that this data is going to be less frequently accessed for various reasons, maybe it's 30 days old and, you know, you're not going to access the data, you can move the data to the cool storage. You save significantly on the cost per gigabit there. And of course, if you need to access it, you can still access it in milliseconds to seconds, but the cost per access is a little bit higher than what it is for the basically the hot tier. So essentially, think about hot and cool tier as a way for you to save cost and also to move data between them. Hopefully that answers your question. Yeah, so blob storage has these two tiers within that, essentially. Yeah. Can you take the mic, please? There's a mic here, yeah. So other people can hear.
Can you hear me?
I think they're recording, so. Please take the mic. Yeah.
Okay. My question to you guys is, we are a Veritas shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want the Veritas API mm-hmm. to work with you guys.
Yeah.
But within the last year and a half, you know, I've been told that, you know, the API is not ready. Version 8 is
yes.
your version. And it keeps moving up through this November. When I saw that, you know, you guys are supporting that on the ecosystem.
Yeah.
I want to know when that will be available.
So it's actually a great question. So what I can tell you is we are partnering with Veritas deeply, as in we are engaging with them on a regular basis much more than what we were before. There is a session that will be at around 10:45 that talks about ecosystem. I would highly encourage you to go to that session. What I can tell you is in the near future, we will have Veritas software integrate with our blob storage, hot and cool tier, which will help you to move the data to Azure and get the regional choice and the compliance. So this is something that is work in progress. And as I said, please attend that other session that talks in depth about different partners and all those things.
Okay, do you know the room number?
I think
can
if
I
go
bring
back,
that up?
If you go back, so it's actually the first one, the breakout session 2201. It's in C202.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's another question.
Regarding Accenture's move to the cloud with your backup, did your 53% savings include
Josh.
Your network connectivity to back that up as well?
Just to correct you, not backup. This is specifically site recovery. We don't do backup through Azure. But yes, it does. And this is specifically infrastructure-based cost savings. We do even more cost savings if you count operations and so on.
Okay. So it did include your network connectivity required to do that backup?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
One thing I would actually call out is if you're interested in blob storage and best practices, there is a session at 12:30, which is called Build Tiered Cloud Storage in Microsoft Azure. Wamshi, one of my peer, my colleagues, is going to talk about different tiers, best practices, and all. So it might be worth attending. Sorry.
So one question about the prerequisites for backup of on-prem. What are the prerequisites for backing up physical servers and also for Hyper-V?
So in terms of prerequisites, if you use Azure Backup Server, as was shown in the reference architecture, there is no real prerequisite. You need to be able to install either a VM or a physical server for Azure Backup Server. But beyond that, we don't have any requirements for backing up physical servers or Hyper-V VM specifically.
So a question back to the Azure guy. Do you have special networking express route, something like that, between you and the Azure cloud?
Yeah, I mean.
Is this question for George or for us?
George, yeah.
Yes, we do have express route. The site recovery backup, you could go with express route or you could go with internet. We're actually doing internet for the replication of the data. The express route is used for the integration with the on-premises applications.
And what size is the express route?
It's a gig, I believe. But again, it's not used to replicate the data to the cloud.
And so one final follow-up. Are you doing redundant express route? Just
yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
In terms of backing up a Hyper-V cluster, with the service, does that require an agent be installed on every VM in the cluster, or is it an agent that goes on the host? Is it aware of the cluster? How would that work?
So I would highly recommend that you attend BRK 3063. We'll go much deeper in this particular topic. So essentially, we are covering how you would do most of these things at IL300 in this session.
I'm sorry, which session was that?
3063, backup born in the cloud and enterprise apps to the cloud.
I think we'll have time for maybe two question max. Yeah.
regarding the Azure stack, would there be any leveraging of Azure Stack on-premise or anything like that for quicker recovery?
So Azure Stack is for consistency with Azure in your on-premises. We will have a backup and disaster recovery story there, but if your question is that the target, then I think the question is in sort of the wrong direction, right?
Yeah.
And so think of it as anything Azure can do, Azure Stack potentially can do.
Okay.
That's our vision.
All right, thank you.
I got a question for George. Did you guys leverage any vendors in getting your DR infrastructure spun up?
We did not, not for site recovery. Worked with Microsoft. Actually, I have a session tomorrow. I'm going to cover the same slides in a little bit more about how we, you know, the old solution, the new solution, partnered with Microsoft pretty much and did it on our own.
And how long did it take you, just estimate?
About a year to do the whole move.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are backing up file servers that are over 1 terabyte. And we're finding that there's a limitation with page blobs. So there's block blobs and page blobs. The limitation is that a page blob cannot hold a file larger than 1 terabyte. And the initial backups are over 1 terabyte. How do we deal with this? We understand page blob sizes were supposed to increase larger than 1 terabyte.
So if you make use of Azure Backup Server, or if you use the Azure Backup Service directly, then you don't have to deal with this because we use a multi-tenant store in the backend, and therefore we are able to chunk the data into manageable pieces. The way to think about it is, what is the deployment model that you want to adopt to solve your particular challenges?
These are backups that we're taking of servers that are on-prem.
Right.
And we're using the Azure import-export service to copy the data to the Azure cloud.
Right. So, but I'm saying if you adopt a backup solution, like Azure Backup Service or Azure Backup Server that you install on-premises and then back it up, then it will do the job of actually transferring the data. You can actually make use of Azure Import-Export to export the data from Azure Backup as well. The point I'm making is you will not run into this limitation if you use a backup solution as opposed to if you directly try to make use of a storage solution.
We are. We're using a Veeam solution, actually.
So,
but we're using Azure as the Azure and page blobs.
So I think basically where you're getting at is the limitations that there
it's there a page blob limitation.
So I would actually highly recommend you to attend the first session that talks about different scenarios, and then we talk about the partner ecosystem. It will be a good place to ask this question.
So you're not aware of the page blob?
I know about the page blob, but I'm actually hesitant to say what is in the roadmap, whether we are increasing it.
But the first session,
session, we'll be able to talk about that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. I think we are at the top of the hour. We're still here if you want to
Can I ask my last question here?
Yeah, I mean, we can still talk to you.
It's really more of a business-centric question. In it sounds like from the solution, are you positioning this as a possibility that I can replace my backup vendor and just use this solution in and of itself? And it seems very enterprise-centric. So I'm just kind of curious, at what level does it not become cost efficient? So, I mean, is there a break point that I have to say, okay, you know what, I don't have enough servers that would be on-prem that would make this worthwhile? At what level do you guys think that comes in at?
So I think there's a two-part question there, right? So one of them is, can I replace my existing backup vendor? That's a more nuanced question. It depends on what you're doing with that today. And what are the capabilities that are available with this solution that can, you know, 100% map the requirements that you have? That's a more nuanced question, but we could go into it deeper. As for the second question, I believe the answer is there is no inflection point really, because if you're an enterprise, then you probably have an enterprise agreement with us for Azure, and you get those sort of treatment. But for everything else, the way Azure works is pay as you go. So it really, there is no inflection point. It scales linearly with the amount of backups you're doing. For instance, if you take Azure Backup, the way it's built is using an instance model. So every server you backup, you pay an instance fee. And it doesn't matter if you have 100 or 1,000 servers. It's just that many into the instance fee that you would pay. Or if you bought Operations Management Suite, it would be per node. So there's really no inflection point as we see it. We see this as a solution that pretty much everyone can adopt. Of course, as Microsoft, we have enterprises' needs in mind, but that does not mean that, you know, that we're putting a limit on anyone else from adopting the solution.
I think, so basically one thing I would add is, you know, in terms of timing, like the practical part is, like, you probably have an enterprise backup that has basically a license-based product. So one way to think about it is you want to test whether it integrates well with the cloud. If it is not, then can do proof of concept with Azure Backup and Azure DR, and then, you know, the practical approach would be when your license is expiring, you know, by then you have done enough tests that you can make a choice at that time. But we can take it offline.
Okay. Talk more. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, everybody, for attending
the
session.
Thanks, everyone.
I would actually highly encourage you to take the evaluation and let us know, you know, how it went.